Morning.
Morning.
I'm glad you guys were able to get out of bed this morning, and old man Winter decided to get out of the way.
Super excited, and I know that some people weren't able to be so lucky living up on the mountain. And so I'm glad that you guys are here and that we can worship together this morning. I was here back in November speaking in this setting. I'm either in the very back or in the very front. I've come to figure that out. And so back in November, I talked about the life of Jacob and his brother Esau and the conflict that eroded between that family. And so I kind of want to pick up where I left off of back in November. We're going to be talking about Jacob and Esau once again, but we're going to be talking about the selfishness that eroded within that family, that came with that family. But not just selfishness, but a particular aspect of selfishness called impulsivity. And impulsivity is a multifactorial construct that involves a tendency to act on a whim, displaying behavior characterized by little or no forethought, reflection, or consideration of the consequences. This morning, we're going to talk about impulsivity and how, if we are not careful, it can lead us to a place to sacrifice ultimately what we want most for something that we believe that we want right now. It can cause us to sacrifice what God has in store for us, the future that God has for us, the inheritance that He wants to give you for something that you believe that you want right now. And so if you are taking notes this morning, and I encourage you to do so, but if you are, you can entitle this message, Spiritual Starvation. Spiritual starvation, how Jacob and Esau gave up God's preferred future for their life, for something that they believed that they wanted right now. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 25. I believe that we've been in Genesis for some time now, and I just felt like we would be in it one more Sunday. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 25. And this story is so ridiculous, right? Because who would actually do this? Maybe you guys know the story where Esau gives up his inheritance for one single meal. Who would actually do that? And the reality is that we do it every single day. Every single day we are sacrificing God's plans and God's future for our life for something that we believe that we want right now. So let's jump into Scripture right here. And Genesis chapter 25, we're going to be bouncing around a little bit, but we're going to pick up in 24. And when her time to give birth, there were indeed twins in her womb. And the first came out looking red, covered in hair like a furry coat. And so they named him Esau. Some translations say like a hairy red robe. And so this is crazy, right? How would you feel that if you had gave birth to a baby, and the best way that they could figure out how to describe this little guy was that he looked like a hairy red robe or a furry red coat, or he looked like 70 shag carpet, because that's who we're talking about here. We're talking about Esau, and that's what he looked like when he came out. But not only that, in verse 26, we got somebody else that's coming into the world, and that's going to be Jacob. And what's Jacob doing? Verse 26, after his brother came out, grasping on to Esau's heel, and so with his hand. And so they named him Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old at this time. And so Jacob comes out, and he's grabbing onto his brother's heel. And so they name him heel grabber, deceiver, planter, because that's what Jacob means. He's constantly grabbing on to stuff. And so these brothers, what we're going to understand and what we're going to see more as we go throughout this morning and through this passage is that these two brothers are completely opposite. They're completely opposite. You got a picture. Right here, we'll go into verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau became a very skilled hunter, an expert hunter, and an outdoorsman. But Jacob was a quiet man who stayed at home among the tents. And so I want you to get this picture here that you got Esau. You got this manly man, this hairy red robe, I think facial hair, chest hair. This is the kind of guy that he is, kind of guy that does cool things with his hands. You know, he'd fit real good in Mitchell or Avery County. He's a hunter. That's who Esau is. But then you have Jacob. And Jacob, he's a quiet man. He's more domesticated. He likes to clean. He likes to cook. He wears skinny jeans and bow ties. And Jacob would probably fit real good in downtown Asheville. That's the kind of guy this is. And so nothing against downtown Asheville, nothing against Mitchell or Avery County, but that's the setting that these guys would be a part of. And so polar opposite brothers, polar opposite interests. And so to sum up this current situation that we're dealing with here in Genesis chapter 25, I'm going to just kind of sum it up for you guys, what Scripture is telling us from I think we're going to be in 24 all the way down to maybe 30, 34. So one day Jacob, he's bullying about a pot of bean stew. And Esau comes in and he's hunting in the fields and he's weak from hunger. And so Esau said to Jacob, "Let me have some of that bean stew because I'm weak and I'm hungry." And so Jacob said, "But first you must sell me your rights as a firstborn son." And Esau said, "I'm almost dead and I'm hungry. And if I die, what good will my father's wealth be to me? What good is the inheritance that God wants to give me going to be to me?" And so Jacob said, "But first promise me that you will give it to me." And so Esau made a promise and he sold his inheritance on that spot. He sold it. He gave it to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and vegetable soup, and he ate it and he drank it and he left. And so Esau showed in this moment how little he cared for his birthright. He despised his birthright, and he showed how little he cared. It has to be the worst trait in history. It has to be the worst trait in history. Who would actually give that up? You got to understand what a birthright is. A birthright was set aside for every firstborn son. And every firstborn son said, "This is awesome to be me." And everybody else said, "It stinks to be us." Okay? You got a special blessing from your father. But not only that, you got double the inheritance as everyone else. And so being the firstborn son meant a lot. And you got to understand, Isaac, he wasn't a poor man. This dude was loaded. And so in today's terms, Esau would be what would be referred to as a millionaire. He was going to have some money. And so he's trading all that for one single meal. And so I want you to get this picture this morning that you're going to trade millions of dollars in the future for one single meal today. You're going to trade millions of dollars as your inheritance from what the Father wants to give you, what God plans for you, for a bowl of beans that will satisfy you for a moment today. And it's the worst trade in history. And what I've discovered is that we do that every single day. We sacrifice the plans that God has for us, the future that God desires to do in and through us. We sacrifice the inheritance that God wants to give us for something that we believe that we want right now. And so what I want to do is pause this morning and simply say that we have to be careful, that we have to be cautious, that we don't sell out on God's inheritance that he wants to give us, the future that he wants to give us for something that looks satisfying and appealing to us right now. And I believe that if Esau was here with us this morning, he would give us some warnings. And we have those coming up, some warnings this morning. And these warnings that if we would implement them into our lives, it would keep us from selling out, trading out our birthright for something else. The first warning that I think Esau would give us this weekend, if he could communicate with us, would be this: to beware of mistaking growth for maturity. To beware of mistaking growth for maturity. Look at what Scripture says in verse 27. It says that the boys grew up. They grew up. What the Bible is saying there, it's saying that the boys aged. They got up there in age. They got older. They developed some skills. They developed some things that they were really good at. They developed some interest. Esau, he became a really good hunter, a skilled hunter. Jacob became a clean cook, or a great cook and a cleaner. And so that's who these guys are. They grew up in fashion, but did they really grow up? See, they grew up externally, but they did not grow up internally. And you say, "Well, Brent, why do you say that?" And as we go down throughout Scripture, we can see the behavior of these two brothers. They're fighting back and forth like a bunch of teenage boys. And so he's like, "I'm hungry. Give me some food." And Jacob's like, "No, I said sell me your birthright." And Esau's saying, "I said give me some of that food." And so they're bouncing back and forth like a bunch of five-year-olds at this point in time. And so maybe we've seen that before. And as we study this, we got to understand that at this point in time, Esau and Jacob, they were 60 years old. So they weren't five-year-old. They weren't even teenagers. They were 60 years old. They were grown men. And so maybe we've seen it before where a parent dies and 60-year-old brothers and sisters are fighting amongst themselves over what they're going to split. And see, there's a way in which we can grow up externally, and there's a way in which on the outside we become successful, right? But we never develop within. We never develop the character from within on the inside. And that's what's happening to Esau here. Esau forfeited everything that he had. Why? Because he became a skillful hunter. He got really good at hunting. He grew up, but he didn't grow up in who he was. He got really good at killing his dinner, but he never got good at controlling his hunger. And so I think Esau would beg of us this weekend to heed the warning from his life and to say, we got to focus on who we are internally. We may have grown up. We may have moved from 8 to 18 or from 18 to 38 or from 38 to 68. But as much as we have grown up externally, we got to focus on who we are internally. And become the man or the woman that God is calling us to be. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 8 years old, if you're 88 years old. God has a purpose for you this morning. God has a design and a desire to work in and through you for his kingdom, for his glory, and for his purpose this morning. And so the story goes on in verse 28. And it says right here, it says, Isaac was a quiet man. Or Isaac loved Esau because he had taste for wild game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Can we say dysfunctional family here? I mean, you got a dad who loves the older son more, and you got a mom who loves the younger son more. This is dysfunction. And the dysfunction in this family created the hunger and the starvation in their souls that led them to act on impulse and sacrifice the future that God had for them. Verse 29. Once Jacob was cooking stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted, and he said to Jacob, "Let me have some of that red stuff, that stew, because I'm exhausted." And so we can see right here that Jacob, he's hungry. And I can imagine that when Jacob went out and he went hunting, he must have came home empty-handed because he didn't have anything to eat, right? I mean, if he went hunting and he came home and he had food, he wouldn't be hungry because he could just cook that food. And so he's asking his brother for a meal right here for some food. And so I can imagine personally how I feel when you go hunting and you come home and you're empty-handed, you feel deflated, right? I mean, we got some hunters in here. Kenny's a hunter, and I'm a hunter, and we spend seasons and weeks and months and days and a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of energy preparing plots and going hunting and baiting and stuff. And then we come home empty-handed. We feel deflated. We feel down. We feel worthless. And I can imagine at this point in time, that's how Esau was feeling. So not only was he hungry, but he was weak. See, he had spent all that energy, and he was coming back. And so he was weak. And let me just pause right here and say, you got to be careful who you talk to when you're weak. You got to be careful who you talk to, who you go to when you're down and when you're in a weakened state. And who did Esau choose to go to in this moment? He chose to go to Jacob. And who was Jacob? Jacob was the hill grabber. He was the deceiver, the planner. He was the one guy that was always grabbing on to everything that Esau had in this point in time. And so, that's the last person that I would run to in this point in time. That's the last person that I would go to, that person that's always grabbing on to everything that I have. And so we have to be careful who we talk to when we are in a weakened state. It goes on to say in verse 31, Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Jacob says, sell me your rights as a firstborn son. That's what I'm wanting. And I can almost imagine, I can almost sense in this situation, the emotion and the impulse that is in Jacob's life or in Esau's life. And because Esau responds, he says, quick, I'm starving, I'm hungry, I'm about to die. And I can almost imagine that this big, hairy, grown man that I think that would fit real good here in Mitchell and Avery County would be on his knees begging and pleading and crying for one single meal because he is hungry and he is starving. And the impulse in his voice and the impulse in Jacob's voice, he recognizes in this moment that I can get what I've been craving for my whole life. I can get that birthright. He sees that his brother is in a weakened state and he says, I can get what I'm going after in this moment. And so here's what I've wondered. Esau, this manly man, this guy that has facial hair and this big dude, the kind of guy that kills things with his bare hands. You know, Esau, I'm like, why don't you just beat your little brother up? Just beat him up. Just beat him up. Throw him across the kitchen floor. Take the iron skillet. Whap him in the face and take the bean stew. You don't have to sell your birthright. But you know why Esau didn't do that? Because he was weak. And when you're weak, he forgot his own strength during that time. He forgot who he was. And in that period of time, and that appetite and that hunger was unsatisfying, emotion took over and exaggerated how he felt. He forgot who he was. And he forgot his own strength and what he was capable of doing. In verse 32, look, said Esau, I'm about to die, so what good is it to me? What good is my birthright to me if I die? And right here, Esau, this manly man, turns into a drama queen in 2 seconds. This big guy that we picture that we wouldn't want to mess with. If we came, if I had to fight with somebody, I would fight with Jacob. I wouldn't fight with Esau. But this big manly man turns into a drama queen in 2 seconds, and he says, I'm about to die. And Jacob says, really, Esau, you're not about to die? You're not about to die, dude. You know, this is his brother, so I can imagine that he was using like slang, and he said, bro, you're not about to die. You're just weak. You're just hungry. And so Esau would give us the second warning during this time, and that would beware of unsatisfied appetites that become exaggerated emotions. Beware of unsatisfied appetites that become exaggerated emotions. Beware of unsatisfied needs in your life that become exaggerated emotions, because those exaggerated emotions will lead you to take action on what you ultimately regret. And what I want to do is pause for a moment and say that we all have needs in life. We all have needs. We all have needs for acceptance and needs for approval and needs for love. And what happens when those needs go unmet? Listen, if those needs go unmet, they can blow your emotions way out of proportion. And we begin to do things and to say things that we would never do or say in a normal circumstance. And so what I think Esau would beg of us this morning is to don't go around hungry. And I think that might be warning number 3. Don't go around hungry. And so I hope that you don't think that I'm talking about physically this morning. What I'm talking about is your soul and the spiritual condition of your soul. Don't let your soul get empty. Don't let your soul get hungry. Don't allow your soul, don't allow your spiritual condition to get dry and to get empty. Because Esau got in trouble because he got hungry. And Esau, he made a bad decision because he got hungry. Okay? He wasn't a bad dude. We make bad decisions because we get hungry. But Esau wasn't a bad dude. He just got hungry. And the same is true for us. We can't go around living life spiritually hungry. We've got to stay filled up. There's no excuse for us today to go around spiritual hungry. And so we've got to feed ourselves. And maybe some of you are thinking, I come to church every Sunday. Like, I haven't missed a Sunday in forever. I go to Sunday school and I'm here every single Sunday. But this Sunday will not fill you up. You're killing yourself throughout the week. If you're just here every Sunday morning and maybe a few prayers every now and then, you're killing yourself. You're sacrificing God's inheritance and what he wants to give you throughout the week. And you're compromising your future throughout the week. Why? Because this weekend will not satisfy you. It will not fill you up. You have to feed yourself spiritually throughout the entire week, and there is no excuse today. Most of us in here, we have some kind of access to internet. And we can get podcasts, and we can go to YouTube and get sermons, and we can get devotions, and there's emails that we can sign up for. But maybe you don't even have internet. Maybe, you know, you're just like us, and we don't have high-speed internet around here. You can go back there to the sound booth, and we have sermons upon sermons that go back almost 2 years where you can get fed spiritually throughout the week. We have a library where you can check out books throughout the week, so you have to continually feed yourself. Because if you don't, you make horrible decisions, and you sacrifice the future that God has for you. And what I think Esau would beg of us this morning is that we have to beware of the bowl, to beware that it's not worth it. I see this in young people all the time, and I see it myself, that we have this need to be married. We have this need to be married. We watch our friends all around us get married. Some are like 5 years younger than me, and they're getting married, and 6 and 7 years younger than me. And so we have this need, and we go to weddings after weddings, and we buy all the gifts, and we buy all the clothes and all the dresses, and we say, when's it going to be my turn? When do I get to get married? You know, when is this going to be my moment? And so what I have to do is I have to pause and I have to ask myself, you know, God doesn't need my help during this time. What I try to do is I try to help God out during this situation. But if God can create everything with a simple word, if God can raise Lazarus up from the dead, if he can turn water into wine, if he can take Jesus, who is dead as a doornail, and bust through a couple thousand pounds of stone, raise him up from the grave, and get through armed guards, he doesn't need my help this morning. And so we try to fix that situation by getting on online dating websites or going to clubs and meeting guys. And before you know it, we're standing in line and we're meeting that person, and we're going to a club and we're meeting somebody that values, that their values aren't like ours. And we start sacrificing our purity and our integrity for sex, for something like that, for something right now that ultimately will sacrifice our future and what God has for us. And so I think Esau would say to us this morning to beware of the bowl, that it's not worth it to walk away from the bowl. The bowl always looks better in the store than when you take it home. You guys ever bought some like clothes or something and you're like, oh, that looks so pretty, you need to get it home, and you never wear it? I mean, I'm guilty of that myself, but walk away, your integrity is worth more. It always looks better in the store than when you bring it home. Beans for your birthright, it's a ridiculous trade, it's a horrible trade, and yet we do it every single day. And the sad reality is anything smells good when we're hungry, and we'll latch on to anything, we'll grab on to anything that will satisfy that unsatisfied need in our life. And so what I think Esau would tell us for our next warning is this, is that we got to learn to stop compromising our future by making bad decisions based off of our internal appetites and impulses, and instead start making decisions based off the Word of God and his principles. To let go of our desires and our appetites and to embrace what God is leading us to do. Listen what happens when we start making decisions based off of our internal appetites and our impulses instead of the Word of God and his principles. Verse 34. Then Jacob gave bread and stew to Esau, and he ate it and he drank it and he got up and he went away. And so Esau despised his birthright. How sad is that? How sad is that? Look how sad that is. He says that he sat down, that he ate it, that he got up, and that he left. He despised his birthright. It didn't even say that he liked it. It didn't even say that he enjoyed it or that it tasted good. He simply sat down, he ate it, he got up, and he left. And man, I can imagine that during this time, Esau's thinking, I don't feel like I thought I would feel. You know, this didn't satisfy me the way that I thought that it would satisfy me. How sad is that? It's like automatically you can see the remorse and the regret in his voice. That, man, I despised my birthright. And I think Esau in this moment would give us this next and final warning. And that would be this, to beware of the temptation to give up on what we want most for what we think that we want right now. To give up on what we want most for what we think that we want right now. For Esau, that he thought that he wanted a bowl of beans. He was hungry. He thought that he wanted a meal. But what he really wanted was his inheritance and what God has set aside for him, what God had planned for him, what God desired to do in and through him. That's what he really wanted. He wanted his birthright. That's what he craved. He wanted the Father's blessing. But he traded it all for one bowl of beans. It wasn't even filet mignon or lobster or anything. It was a bowl of beans. Traded it all. And we have to be careful that we don't trade what we truly want for something that will satisfy us for a few minutes today and destroy our future forever. I see it all the time. I see Christians all the time give up their inheritance, give up their legacy, give up their potential, compromises on the promises that God has for them, that God wants to give them for something that they believe that they want right now. And that they think will satisfy them And it never does. Esau will tell you this morning that it will not satisfy you. The bowl for your a bowl of beans for your birthright will not satisfy you. It never has and it never will. And some of you right now are debating with me this morning and you're saying, Brent, this is a great story. It's a good deal. It's scripture, awesome, great. But guess what? I don't have a rich daddy. I have a broke daddy. I don't have an inheritance. God hasn't said, I don't have a birthright. So this is great. This is good information, but this doesn't apply to me. Some of you, I might even be saying this morning that I don't even have a dad. And I want to stop and I want to say right here that every believer has a birthright. And so we see that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. You don't got to flip there. It'll just be real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3 and 4. And it says right here, let me find it. Blessed be the God of our Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercies, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Every believer this morning has an inheritance. There's specific things that God has set aside for every believer, but there is joy that God has set aside for you. There is peace that God has set aside for you. There is a testimony through Jesus Christ. There are things in general that God has set aside for you, but not only that, there are specific things that God has set aside for you, that is reserved for you, that is prepared for you, that has a purpose for you, and it has your name on it, and only you can do it this morning. And so God has set aside specific things for you. And what I want to tell you this morning is the devil cannot take your birthright. The devil cannot take your birthright. He has to wait for you to give it up. And so all day, every day, the enemy is going to place a bowl of beans in front of you and try to get you to sacrifice your birthright. What God has set aside for you, what God desires to do in and through you, what he plans for you. But right now, you need to understand that this bowl of beans will not satisfy you. It will not satisfy you. And the devil knows just exactly what bowl of beans to put in front of you. He knows exactly what you're craving. He knows exactly what's going to tempt you, what's going to get you. And so you have to be careful. And that's why you got to feed yourself spiritually. That's why you got to stay filled up spiritually. I used the illustration at Grassy Creek Youth one time when we were talking about temptation and how it's always around us. And I got a sombrero. And I tied some string onto it, and there was like a cigar, which indicated like drugs, and then there was like a CD, which indicated like pornography, and then there was like a beer bottle. There was actually a beer bottle; it was empty, and it was hanging and everything. And there was all this temptation around us. And the moment that we take our eyes in the front of the sombrero, it was open, and that was signifying our attention was on Jesus. We were staying filled up spiritually. But the moment that we become hungry, the moment that we take our eyes off Christ and we see temptation all around us. And that's the devil. He knows exactly what to put in front of you. Three things that we know about birthrights at this time. Three things. It can be doubled, it can be given away, or it can be transferred. For Esau, he chose to give it away. He gave it away for one single meal, just like we do all the time. And so maybe you're thinking this morning, Brent, you're being too hard on Esau. You're pounding Esau. He was just a simple guy. He made a simple mistake. But I want you to look what Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 through 16. Again, don't worry about flipping there. It's on the screen. Hebrews. We'll just read it right here. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. And make sure that there isn't any immoral or irrelevant persons like Esau who sold his birthright for an exchange for a single meal. And so Esau was called godless, right? The author of Hebrews is saying that no one captivates you and causes you to become sexually immoral or godless. And who is an example of godless? That's Esau. Esau was that example of godless. Who sacrificed everything for one single meal? Esau. Who traded it all? Esau. For one single meal. For one bowl of beans. And last time I spoke here, we talked about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Did you ever stop and think for Scripture and for God's design was for it to say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Esau? The firstborn son of Esau, for one single meal, gave everything away. He traded everything that God had for him, what he planned to do in and through him, for one single meal. And so where does this go? Two starving sons. Esau was starving for some food, for some nourishment, for some beans. Jacob, he was starving for a blessing, for some approval. Both of them acted on impulse, causing them to sell out their birthrights, to sell out the future that God had for them. And both of them ultimately saw destruction brought into their lives. And as I think about this, I think about two other sons. in Scripture. The firstborn son in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. Everybody knows the story. The oldest son goes to his father and he demands his inheritance because he's tired of living this way. And so he demands his inheritance and he goes to his father and he goes and he throws it all away on ridiculous things, right? All types of beans, all types of exotic beans. But ultimately, guess what? The beans run out because they always do. They always run out. And he finds himself in a hog pen eating the slop that they feed the hogs. And so he comes to himself and he says, I'll get this idea and I'll go home and I'll plead my case to my father and I'll beg my father and maybe he'll forgive me. And I'll come up with a story that I'm so hungry and all I need is food, that I'm just hungry. And what he finds is that on his way home, his father comes running down the road to embrace him, to hug him, to kiss him. And his father says, my boy is home. My boy is back from the dead. He is home now. Someone go kill the cow. Get the barbecue going. Strike up the band. Get some music going. My boy's dirty. Get him some clean clothes. Give him a ring, a sign of authority. I'm giving my son his authority back. And guess what? The prodigal son gets everything back. And I got to be honest with you, this bothers me. Because there was another firstborn son, and his name was Esau. And who set away from home. He came home empty-handed. He came home hungry. He made one bad decision. He made one bad decision. The prodigal son set away from home, made horrible decisions, comes home hungry, and he got everything back. Why did he walk back to grace? Why did he walk back to forgiveness? And yet Esau wept, cried, begged, pleaded for forgiveness, and was called godless. The prodigal son wasn't even sorry. He was just hungry. And the reason why is because there was another firstborn son, and his name was Jesus. Romans 8:29 says this right here. For those who have foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What I want you to know this morning is that Jesus is the only firstborn son that didn't take the bowl of beans. Jesus is the only firstborn son that didn't sell out his birthright, didn't settle, didn't sacrifice God's future for him. And here's the deal. We talked about a birthright, how it can't be stolen, but it can be given away and it can be transferred. What I want you to hear this morning is that Jesus will give you your inheritance back. You may have walked away from it. You may have stepped away from it. You may have settled. You may have sacrificed God's future for something else in your life, but he will give you your inheritance back. He bled for it, he died for it, and he paid for it. Okay, he will give you your inheritance back. And all that is required for you is for you to come running back into his arms, and he will give you back the future that you let go of. See, just like Esau and Jacob and us, he was starving in the desert. He was hungry in the desert. And so the devil slivers right over to him, places a bowl of beans in front of him, and says, if you truly are the Son of God, then turn these rocks into bread. And Jesus responded, he said, I don't need to turn them in to what I already am. I am the bread of life. And he held on to his birthright in that moment. He didn't sacrifice it. He held on to it. And this weekend, he will give you his inheritance as your inheritance. He will give you your future back. And no matter what you've done, no matter what you've gone away from, no matter what you've done, he will give you back your inheritance. All he wants you to do is just like that prodigal son's father done. He's going to have his arms wide open and he wants you to come back to him this weekend. And he promises you that he will give your future and what he desires to do in and through you back. He will give you back your inheritance. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day, God. God, we thank you for allowing us to come together and to just open up your word. God, we thank you that you are who you say you are. God, we're talking about Easter coming up and everything. And we're just so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ, God. God, you truly bled for it. You died for it and you paid for it. God, we are so thankful. And I just hope and pray that as we go throughout this next week, God, that we are just constantly reminded of the sacrifice that you gave, God. And so, God, we just thank you. We thank you for your grace and for your forgiveness. And God, that you're always there with arms wide open. No matter how far we've strayed away, no matter how far we've gone, no matter how far we've ran, God, you are here waiting for us just to come back home, God. And so I just pray that if anybody's here this morning and they've kind of strayed away, God, that they will know that you are here and that you are waiting for them just to come back. That you have their inheritance for them, that you have their future that you desire to do in and through them, for them, God. And so, God, I just pray that that you would speak to them this morning and that you would do great things. In your name we pray. Amen. Sweet.